from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. This is 99.7 FM Baraboo. 103.7 FM Reedsburg. AM 740. And streaming live everywhere. Take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good morning. A blessed Easter to you. Our worship is in the folder and on the screen. Let's jump right into it. Please rise. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
On this most holy morning, in which our Lord Jesus Christ passed over from death to life, we are gathered here in vigil and prayer. This is the Passover of the Lord, in which, by hearing his word and celebrating his sacraments, we share in his victory over death. O God, you are like a refiner's fire, and your spirit kindles the hearts of your faithful people with the fire of your love. Bless, we ask you, this new flame, and those who keep this joyful Easter festival burning with desire for life with you. May we be found rightly prepared to share in the feast of light which has no end, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing, Christ the Lord is risen today. Please be seated.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our Easter worship this morning. Pastor Tim Kuski will bring us a message from God's Word speaking on various scripture readings today. We will follow the special order of worship on the screen and in the service bulletin. We will join the congregation singing hymn number 465 from the Christian worship hymnal, Christ the Lord is Risen Today, hymn number 465.
Morning, our Savior Christ the Lord broke the power of death and by his resurrection brought life and salvation to all creation. Let us praise the Lord, for he truly keeps his word. The Sun of Righteousness has dawned on those sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. We pray, Almighty and most merciful Father, once we were darkness, but now we are light in Jesus Christ our Lord. Bless abundantly all who joyfully celebrate this night and day in faith and in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fill them with your heavenly blessing in him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we sing the continuing verses of Christ the Lord is Risen Today.
Thank you.
Our service is a service of readings and prayers and songs, recognizing the resurrection. I want to put you in the place of the disciples on their walk to Emmaus. They were distraught. They didn't realize that he is risen and that they had to learn that over time. I hope as we go through these scriptural readings, you understand that this is the scriptures that Jesus used to explain to those Emmaus disciples that his work was to rise from the dead. We start with Genesis 1 and creation, the perfect world which God created for us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was undeveloped and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good. He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was evening and there was morning the first day. God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters, and let it separate the water from water." God made the expanse, and he separated the water that was below the expanse from the water that was above the expanse, and so it was. God called the expanse sky. There was evening and there was morning the second day. God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together to one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. The waters under the sky gathered to their own places, and the dry land appeared. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered places of the waters he called seas. God saw that it was good. God said, "Let the earth produce plants, vegetation that produces seed, and trees that bear fruit with seed in it, each according to its own kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth plants, vegetation that produces seed according to its own kind, and trees that bear fruit with its seed in it, each according to its own kind. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning the third day. God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to divide the day from the night, and let them serve as markers to indicate seasons, days, and years. Let them serve as lights in the expanse of the sky to give light to the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in place in the expanse of the sky to provide light for the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. God saw that it was good. There was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. God said, "Let the waters swarm with living creatures, and let birds and other winged creatures fly above the earth in the open expanse of the sky." God created the large sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their own kind, and every winged bird according to its own kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them. And he said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters of the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth." There was evening and there was morning the fifth day. God said, "Let the earth produce living creatures according to their own kind, livestock, creeping things, and wild animals according to their kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their own kind, the livestock according to their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its own kind. God saw that it was good. God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that crawls on the earth." God created the man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth." God said, "Look, I have given you every plant that produces seed on the face of the whole earth and every tree that bears fruit that produces seed. It will be your food. to every animal on the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there was the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. There was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. The heavens and the earth were finished, along with everything in them. On the seventh day, God had finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had been doing. God blessed the seventh day and set it apart as holy, because on it he rested from his work of creation that he had done. The word of the Lord. God's vision of life for humans is in a perfect world in which God also lived with them. Here in that perfect world, God intended to have an intimate communion with his children and to rejoice in a world that is unspoiled. We continue with our next hymn, I Know That My Redeemer Lives, the first verse. Our next lesson is from Genesis 22, verses 1 through 18. Here, God makes it very clear that a sacrifice, a substitute, is necessary because human beings can't take care of their own sins. God must provide that sacrifice. We read about the testing of Abraham in Genesis 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He called to him, Abraham. Abraham answered, I am here. God said, now take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains there, the one to which I direct you. Abraham had that son at the age of 90. Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, along with Isaac, his son. Abraham split the wood for the burnt offering. Then he set out to go to the place that God told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Abraham said to his son, to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go on over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and loaded it on Isaac, his son. He took the fire pot and the knife in his hand. The two of them went on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. He said, I am here, my son. He said, here are the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So the two of them went on together. They came to the place that God had told him about. Abraham built the altar there. He arranged the wood, tied up Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. The angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Abraham said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Abraham looked around and saw that behind him there was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. So it is said to this day, on the mountain of the Lord, the Lord, a mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, I have sworn by myself, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will bless you greatly, and I will multiply your descendants greatly, like the stars in the sky and like the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the city gates of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Abraham was truly tested. That test was quite a test. To give up the son born to you in your old age, the son who had the promise, and the book of Hebrews says it very well, Abraham believed that there was a resurrection, that even if he slaughtered his son, God could bring him back to life, because it was through him that that promise had come. But in the end, God would provide the necessary lamb, and we know who that lamb was. Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Abraham received his son back, and he also received a wonderful promise, that is a promise that we have experienced, and that is, in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you obeyed my voice. We have Christ Jesus. We bow our heads and our hearts in prayer. Oh God, you promised a faithful Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. And through the sacrament of holy baptism, you increase your chosen people throughout the world. Give to your church a living trust in your promises through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we sing the second verse of I Know That My Redeemer Lives. More than 500 years after Abraham, God sent Moses. And Moses led the people away from slavery. And this is a symbol of what God does in baptism as he leads us out of slavery to sin and Satan and into his marvelous light. We read the account of the crossing of the Red Sea in Exodus 14. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. The Israelites were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there are no graves in Egypt that you took us to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Wasn't this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Moses said to the people, "Don't be afraid. Stand firm and see the salvation from the Lord, which he will perform for you today. For the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You must wait quietly." The Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to set out. As for you, lift up your staff. Stretch out your hand over the sea and divide the sea so that the Israelites can go through the middle of the sea on dry ground. I myself will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go into the sea after them. I will gain glory through Pharaoh and his entire army, through his chariots and his charioteers. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I have gained glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his charioteers." Then the angel of God, who was going in front of the Israelite forces, moved and went behind them. The pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and stood behind them. It went between the Egyptian forces and the Israelite forces. The cloud was dark on one side, but it lit up the night on the other. Neither group approached the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all night long the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned the sea into dry land. The waters were divided. The Israelites went into the middle of the sea on dry ground. The waters were like a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his charioteers, went after them into the middle of the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian forces with the pillar of fire and cloud. Then he confused the Egyptian forces. He jammed their chariot wheels, and they had difficulty driving them. And the Egyptians said, "We must flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." And the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, and the waters will come back over the Egyptians, over their chariots and their charioteers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea returned to its normal place. While the Egyptians were fleeing from it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the middle of the sea. The waters came back, and it covered the chariots and the charioteers, the entire army of Pharaoh that went into the sea after the Israelites. Not even one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the middle of the sea on dry land, and the waters like a wall for them on their right and on their left. And on the day the Lord saved Israel from the hand of the Egyptians, and saw Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore, Israel saw the mighty hand which the Lord put into action against the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in Moses, his servant. Then Moses said to the Israelites, Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. They said, "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted." The word of the Lord. O God, you once delivered your people Israel from slavery under Pharaoh and led them safely through the Red Sea. By this you gave a picture of baptism. Lead us always to rejoice in your baptismal promise, that we may live in its grace and declare to all people your desire to make them children of Abraham, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue with our psalm, Psalm 118a. It is found in your hymnal and on the screen.
Thank you.
We continue with the knowledge that God had predicted the resurrection in the Old Testament, and the clearest gospel message of that is found in Job chapter 19. I'd ask you to rise for this reading and listen with ears that recognize Job's great anguish and yet the great joy he had in the promise of resurrection. I am nothing but skin and bones. I have escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, you friends of mine, because the hand of God has struck me. Why do you pursue me the way God does? Will you never get enough of my flesh? Oh, how I wish that my words were written down. Oh, how I wish they were inscribed in bronze, that they would be engraved in rock forever with an iron tool and letters filled with lead. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end of time he will stand over the dust. Then even after my skin has been destroyed, nevertheless, in my own flesh, I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, will I see him, and not as a stranger. My emotions are in turmoil within me. The word of the Lord. Please be seated. The book of Job is very likely the oldest biblical book written for us. And at this point, Job was at the height of his misery, suffering what Satan had brought on him. And now his friends kept that suffering going even more. And Job blames God because God did allow what happened to him. God allowed him to suffer in a sinful world. But God also gave him the hope for eternity, the hope that we celebrate today, that God wants to go back to a perfect world where there is no more death. God wants us to have the hope of the resurrection. He wants us to know that he controls life. And Job understood that millennia ago. May you have that same faith. We pray. Almighty God, by the Passover of your Son, you brought us out of sin into righteousness and out of death to life. Give your servants patience and endurance that, looking in faith to your Son, we may see beyond the trials of this life to the joys of the life to come. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing two more verses of I Know That My Redeemer Lives. Prophet Zephaniah also had a vision of what this world would be, how God would gather many with that hope of Job. We read from Zephaniah chapter 3, starting at verse 12. But I will leave among you the people who are humble and weak. They will seek refuge in the name of the Lord. The Israelites who remain will no longer act unjustly. They will not lie, and a deceitful tongue will not be found in their mouth. Instead, they will graze peacefully like sheep and lie down. No one will terrify them. Sing out, daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, you daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has removed the judgment against you. He has turned back your enemy, Israel's king. The Lord is in your midst. You no longer need to fear disaster. In that day, Jerusalem will be told, do not be afraid, O Zion. Do not give up. The Lord your God is with you as a hero who will save you. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I will bring back those among you who grieve over the loss of the appointed feast, those for whom the loss was a burden and a disgrace. Look, at that time I will deal with those who mistreated you. I will rescue the lame and gather together the scattered. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they were put to shame. At that time, I will bring you in. At that time, I will gather you. I will give you a name and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, declares the Lord. Here Zephaniah, in Old Testament terms, describes eternity, when God will gather together all those who belong to him. And notice how wonderful it tells us that world will be. He will be with us. Our hero, Christ Jesus, who died, who saved us. He is the hero who saves you. Let that be your comfort even now. And let that fellowship with God be your goal for now and for eternity. The Lord will bring you in. The Lord will restore his faithful people. We pray. O Lord, let all the world see that what has been cast down is raised up. What has grown old is made new. And the work you have begun in your faithful people is being brought to its joyful fulfillment in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing two more verses of I Know That My Redeemer Lives. Please rise for the Easter Gospel, John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. I want you to put yourself in the shoes of Mary Magdalene. She's had a very bad weekend. She saw her Lord crucified. The last thing she did was do her best for his burial on very short notice. Wasn't completed. And so on the first day of the week, she wanted to do what was right for him. And now she got to see the most wonderful thing. We read from John 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. She saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she left and ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, she told them, and we don't know where they put him. So Peter and the other disciple went out, heading for the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first, bending over. He saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was following him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloth lying there. The cloth that had been on Jesus' head was not lying with the linen cloth, but was folded up in a separate place by itself. Then the other disciple who arrived at the tomb first also entered. He saw and believed. They did not yet understand from the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside and facing the tomb, weeping. As she wept, she bent over, looking into the tomb. She saw two angels in white clothing sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and one at the feet. They asked her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She told them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." After she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, though she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" Supposing he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have carried him off, tell me where you laid him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and replied in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus told her, "Do not continue to cling for me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." She also told them the things he had said to her. The word of the Lord. Please be seated. Can you see Mary's emotional roller coaster? She's sad as can be, and yet she really wants to do her duty. So she shows up there on that first day of the week. And to go into a grave after a day of, well, moldering there, wouldn't have been the most pleasant thing in the world. But she was determined to do it. And then she gets there and it's open. And she looks in, there's nothing there. That's where we put him just a little over, 30 hours ago? Over the course of 3 days? There she was. Emotional roller coaster. Couldn't even do what she wanted to do. She ran back to the disciples. And the disciples came. They saw some interesting things when they went in there. Here's the linen lying here and the headcloth off to the side. Now, if enemies did this and they wanted to steal Jesus' body, they would have been in a rush. Do you think they would have pulled the linen off of him in order to leave it behind? I don't think so. Maybe they might have dropped the headcloth, but certainly they would have taken everything along. They didn't want to touch a dead body either. And quite frankly, it's the same thing for anybody who was maybe trying to help Jesus along. He said he was going to rise, so we're going to steal his body away and put it somewhere else so that people think that he actually rose. But if they're moving him and they want to show him some respect, aren't they going to take the linen cloths with them? And then there's a really neat thing about the Greek word there that says was folded up in a separate place by itself. It's talking about that headpiece. The Greek word can mean not just folded up, but it can also mean keeping its form. You see, when they did burial things in burial customs in Judea, they would take aloe. You guys know that plant from the deserts? You squeeze out the aloe and it's kind of a goopy thing. They would cover the face cloth with that. And over a 30-hour period, it would dry out a little bit. And the cloth would keep its form. It would be awful hard to fold that up, wouldn't it? And so think about that might have been what happened. And they come in and they see the face of Jesus as if he rose right through that face cloth. I don't know for sure that that's the case. We can't do it on the basis of one word. But what an interesting possibility. They saw and believed. And then Mary, she did two longer runs that she did in a long time. One to get Peter and John, and then come back. The other Marys had taken off, and there she was alone with her grief, with the high emotion in her lives. And I think every lady here knows that when you get that high emotion, what happens? You start to leak a little, don't you? And you don't want anybody to see it, right? So someone inside the grave says, "What are you looking for?" And she responds. Then someone outside comes by. She wants to turn her head away, and she's still wiping her tears. "Tell me where you put him." And then she listens. And she hears a familiar voice. That's Jesus! Rabboni! The Lord appeared first to Mary Magdalene, a woman who has been described as a great sinner, and yet had come in repentance to her Lord. This is what God has done for us. There are so many witnesses in the Scriptures. Those who are not necessarily friends of Jesus, who witnessed that he had become alive after he was dead. It would work in a courtroom. There are so many witnesses. There is no such thing as a large group of people that can see the same vision. If they're drug-addled or whatever else, they don't see the same vision, but they all saw Jesus. They all saw Jesus. They all touched him. "Your Lord is alive." And that has great consequence for us. Sin brought death. And because Christ has defeated death, he has defeated sin. And if he has defeated sin and death, he has also defeated Satan. Our God has power over life and death. He makes death temporary and life eternal. Dear people of God, rejoice with your Savior who has risen. We bow our heads and our hearts in prayer. O God, let all the world see that what has been cast down is raised up, that what has grown old is made new, and the work you have begun in your faithful people is being brought to its joyful fulfillment in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing the last two verses of "I Know That My Redeemer Lives." Offering will be in the alms box right in the middle of our service. Please take the time to worship the Lord in that way as well. We continue with a service of holy baptism, connecting Christ's resurrection to our baptism and the new life in Christ. You notice that we have our baptismal font right here in the middle, so it's the first thing you see when you come in, and that's something that was designed from the very beginning to remind you of your baptisms. So it's very appropriate for us to connect baptism to the resurrection. Let's take a look. On this holiest of days, the whole church of our Lord Jesus Christ recalls his death and burial, rejoicing in the gospel of his glorious resurrection from the dead. Holy baptism is the precious means of grace by which our Father in heaven connects us with Christ in his life, death, and resurrection. The Apostle Paul says, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection." Please read along with me this next section. "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." We sing the first two verses of "All Who Believe and Are Baptized." Baptism, God takes away our sins and gives new life in Christ our Lord. We solemnly renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways. We confess the gift of faith in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I ask you, do you reject the devil along with all his lies and empty promises?
Yes.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty?
Yes, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son?
Yes,
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the
Virgin Mary,
not just Pilate. Was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father Almighty. He will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Yes. The Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Do you intend to continue in this faith, to be diligent in the use of the word and sacrament, and in faith and in action, remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as long as you live?
Yes, and I ask God to help me.
Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. We sing a joyful song, See What a Morning.
The Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo, 740 a.m. of Baraboo, or 103.7 FM in Reedsburg. You can also stream online at max.fm. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at 9 a.m. The cable television rebroadcast this service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Spectrum Cable Channel 10 and Antenna TV 43. You may also watch us service on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook and YouTube pages at 9 a.m. every Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in the 3-year-old preschool through the 8th grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, Wisconsin, 53913 are appreciated. For more information about our congregation, you may visit stjohnsbaraboo.org. The television producer is Wendy Grant. This is David Grant. May God bless you and lead you to a strong relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for him who died for you. As a reminder, our regular worship services resume this Thursday at 6:30 p.m. and 9 a.m. next Sunday, and we will also broadcast on our Facebook and YouTube pages again next Sunday at 9 a.m. Thank you for joining us, and for more information, go to stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Please rise for our prayers. Thanks be to you, O Lord, for giving us the victory through your Son, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, you have not forsaken us or left us to our own destruction, but kept your ancient promise to send a Savior. We praise you for his perfect life, his innocent death, and his glorious resurrection because of your faithfulness to your promises. Today is a day of victory. Savior Jesus, we praise you for everything, our God, for carrying out God's plan of salvation. Your resurrection is undeniable evidence that you have triumphed over sin, death, hell, and the devil. Because of your resurrection, today is a day of victory. Holy Spirit, we praise you that through the gospel you have led us to know and believe that Jesus is our risen Savior. Today we say confidently, as did the angels, he is not here, he has risen. Preserve us in the faith. Raise us to newness of life. Continue to lavish on us the blessings of this day of victory. Lord of life, comfort all who stand at death's door. Comfort all who mourn the loss of a loved one who have died in faith in the risen Savior. Comfort each of us with the assurance that because Jesus lives, we too will live. Remind us all that the death of a Christian is not a defeat. Because of Jesus, It is a day of victory. Thanks be to you, O Lord, for giving us the victory through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And in your name we also pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the remission of all your sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. We celebrate communion with those who believe the same thing we do, that are members of the Wells and the ELS. We ask those who are visitors to please respect our practice. Please be seated and come forward at the direction of the ushers. No, just come on up.
Cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and Lord alone.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279EG Reedsburg.
This is 99.7 FM Baraboo, 103.7 FM Reedsburg, AM 740, and streaming live everywhere.
Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor